Talks Radio Sport.
Fastamai, a very good evening to you. It is Friday the 23rd of October. Welcome back to Friday Sport Preview with me, Rhianne Evans, where I'll be looking at all the sporting action happening this weekend for you. Coming up on the show, apologies in advance. It will be a lot of my voice this evening.
Please stop talking to me.
I know, I'm sorry, but I am not sorry to be telling you about a whole host of fantastic sporting achievements this week. Manx athletes are getting poached by UK squads and British national sides left, right and centre.
Another deflection and steal.
Plus, as always, I'll be joined by Sam Spooner, who has the latest hockey, Dave Christian has rugby and Tony Meppen has the weather.
I'm lovely, thank you, and the weather's good.
And the football. All coming up here on the home of Manx Sport. Thank you very much to Dolan for the news there, and thank you very much for your company this evening. I've got a few local stories for you before we dive into this weekend's fixtures. Sale Sharks have been scooping up Manx players like there's no tomorrow. Not one, but four have been selected by the Manchester side this week. Firstly, Catherine Crane has been signed up to compete in the top flight of women's rugby in Britain in the Ladies Premiership. The previous Vagabonds player took up rugby just 2 years ago. How disgusting is that? Also picked up are three of the island's junior rugby players who've been selected in the Sale Sharks under-18 squad for the upcoming season. Harry Thompson and Patrice Bell, both formerly of Castle Rushen High School and Southern Nomads, plus Aaron Pope, formerly of KWC, made the cut. The trio also play for the Isle of Man 7 squad. Isle of Man Rugby announced all the selections on social media earlier this week, saying they couldn't be prouder. What a huge achievement. Massive congratulations to Catherine, Harry, Patrice and Aaron. Elsewhere, and a local brother-sister duo has been chosen for the 2020-2021 British Shooting Pistol Talent Pathway. And not for the first time. Catherine and Joshua Holden are the shooting stars selected. Josh, who was a bronze medalist in the 2019 Island Games, has been on the British Shootings programme for 2 years, with Catherine, who placed third in this year's under-21 Scottish Championships, first selected last year. Now, participation in the talent pathway normally requires the Manx athletes to attend training weekends in England with British shooting coaches every 6 weeks. However, of course, under the current circumstances with the island's borders, the two Balakameen students will be put through a programme of virtual training instead. The first session is due to take place next month, and a huge, so very best of luck to Catherine and Joshua. And finally, Castletown Tennis Club are this year's winners of the Todd Morden Shield Triangular Match. Recently, Albany, Castletown and Ramsey went head-to-head in 200 games. 24 players, 8 per club, played women's and men's doubles over 5 hours. Castletown took a dominating win this year with 92 games won. Albany got themselves 65 games and Ramsey came third with 43. Now, on to football.
Goal!
And I'm delighted to have in the studio with me, as always, Tony Meppen. How are you this week, Tony?
I'm very good, and looking at what's coming tomorrow. We always start with the weather, don't we?
Let's start with the
weather. I'm a little bit worried tomorrow, but fingers crossed. I know some pitches took a bit of a hit last night, but hopefully we're okay. But I think there'll be quite a few pitch inspections in the morning, about 10 o'clock, half 10.
Well, let's look back before we look ahead. So on Wednesday, there was the under-18s eight-a-side competition, and this is the first time it's ever been done. So how did it go?
It went really well. The development at the Isle of Man FA decided that we needed to try something different. And because it's half term next week, but we've done it over 2 weeks, is let's do something that they haven't done before. And what it was, we split the bowl into two halves and played eight a side. So it was quick, no offside. 25 minutes, I know this sounds daft, there's no half time, but you do turn around just in case of the weather conditions. If it's windy, then the advantage isn't to one particular team for the 25. And there was some close games, some real talent out there, because it's totally different football. You know, it's so close. It's basically like two touch. You got to get it, control it and get it out of feet, otherwise you close down. And, the standout team, as we expected, was going to be St George's. They beat Onchan 6-0. They also played against a good Corinthian side and beat them 3-0. And then against Ramsey Centre B, they won 4-0 in that one. In the other group, because it was just the way the draw was done, is a little bit easier, and I don't mean that with disrespect, but Peel look as if they're going to be the strongest. They had a good first game against Laxey B, winning 4-0. And then Ramsey U Centre A came into it, but could only draw with Laxey B because I thought they might have tested Peel. But in the following game, Peel beat Ramsey U Centre A 3-0. So it does look as if Peel are going to win that group. The next set of fixtures is next Wednesday. So they get to play every team, which is brilliant. And there's no sort of real thrashings because it's only 25 minutes. And then the winners of Group A against the winners of Group B will be the final game. I think it's 9:30 kickoff next Wednesday. So looking forward to that. And yeah, great to see so many parents down supporting their children and great atmosphere and no, shall we say, feisty challenges going in, which was always good because at that age, it can be a little bit sensitive at times.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like it was a roaring success. Onwards and upwards. And looking at the fixtures tomorrow, starting in the men's prem, we've got St George's versus St John's, Douglas Old Boys versus Moran, Ramsey will take on Laxey, Douglas Athletic take on Corinthians, Peel versus Ayr, and also Douglas Royal versus St Mary's. So what are we looking out for tomorrow?
We're looking for Railway Cup qualification now for the final on Boxing Day. And I have to say I'm more relaxed. I'm not relaxed with the weather tomorrow, but more relaxed than I have been for the last 4 or 5 years because we don't seem to be able to get that game played on Boxing Day unless we moved it one time because when the stand was damaged down at the bowl, we actually moved it up to Bala Fletcher. But certainly at the moment, Corinthians are in. As far as I know, Russian are in. And then the next challenges you're looking at are St George's, and you're also looking at St Mary's. Now, St Mary's got a tough game tomorrow against Douglas Royal, and be interested just to see how that goes because Douglas Royal have been remarkable over the last 3 or 4 games. Plenty of goals, playing with a lot of flair, and listening to one or two people who really know the game saying that it's as good a football as they've seen for a long time from Douglas Royal. So that's a great accolade for them. Peel against Ayr, you'd expect Peel to have a good show, but you just don't know what team they're going to have. Athletic against Corinthians, that pitch must be in doubt, but Corinthians have offered Bala Fletcher because there is a postponement in Combination 1. Corinthians against Douglas Athletic can't field a team, so that means that Bala Fletcher is open to be used, so the offer has gone to Athletic if their pitch isn't fit to move it up to Bala Fletcher. But Ramsey against Laxey should be a good battle, but I know Johnny Palmer's struggling at the moment with players' availability, with injuries and everything else. I think Ramsey will win that one. Oldboys against Moran, wow. You know, drew with Russian and then sort of beating St George's, absolutely brilliant. But I think Oldboys might just have enough to beat them because, you know, the Moran at the moment, the team that they've got and the way they're playing, you'd fancy the chances, but we'll see how that goes. And St George's against St John's, you only really see one winner in this one, and that's Geordie's.
In JCK Division 2, we've got Oncombe versus Colby, Malou versus Jims. Ramsey U Centre will take on Paul Rose. Union Mills will go up against Braddon. Governors Athletic versus Foxdale. And Douglas and District versus Michael.
I think the one I'm looking at is Oncombe against Colby because I know Oncombe want to get involved in this battle at the top of the table with Ramsey U Centre getting beat and Union Mills winning. That gap is starting to open up a little bit between 1 and 2 now. But then when you look after 3 and 4 positions, it's a little bit down on numbers points-wise. So it's a great battle. It's at the stadium. The stadium will be hit with the weather. But Oncombe commissioners and everyone else who's worked on that pitch done a great job because it's as good as I've sort of seen it for a long, long time. Malou against Jims. Malou just want to play football and Malou will win that, I'm pretty certain, even though Jims have been playing well. U Centre against Paul Rose, you're playing against the second best team on the island. I feel for Pulley at the moment, but well done. The great signing this week from Governors Athletic, Stevie Quirk. Now, Stevie's 53, 54. Well done, Stevie. I wish there was more people like you around who've just gone down. He can do that. He can still play for Governors Athletic's Masters, but he's gone down to help them. Absolute credit to him. Well done to you, Steve. And if there's any more out there, just get in touch with the FA. We'll point you in the right direction.
You, Tony Methan.
Yeah, Governors Athletic against Foxdale. I'll be honest, I was disappointed with Foxdale last week. I thought they would have been a little bit better. So I'm pretty certain Andy Corkle's sort of read the right act to the players and say, listen, if we want to stay in top four, we've got to play better. And D&D against Michael, two teams struggling a little bit. I think Michael might just have a chance here to get the points, but you know, D&D will be trying to stop that, so a draw looks like a fair result.
Moving on to Combi 1, we've got St John's versus St George's, Moran versus Douglas Old Boys, Laxey versus Ramsey. The Corinthians Douglas Athletic game you mentioned could be postponed. Is postponed?
It's gone. As in Douglas Athletic can't field a team, so yep. Corinthians get the points.
And then we've also got Ayr versus Peel. So what's the match of the day to watch out for in Combi 1?
It's a little bit difficult, really, to be honest with you, because you know, Corinthians are in that top position, another 3 points for them. Peel against Ayr will be a good battle because Ayr have got some really good young players in there, as were with Peel, Sam Brown and the likes. They're bringing the youth through and they're playing some really good football. And it's always interesting listening to Sam's report of the game after it's been played. And, you know, there's some real talent there. So future looks well for Peel. Geordie's against St John's, a lot of good players at St George's, so I'd expect St John's to lose that one. Moran against Old Boys okay-ish in numbers. There was, 36 on Tuesday night, I think it was, at training. That takes some doing to get 36 midweek on a cold night. Laxey against Ramsey, I expect Ramsey to win that one. So, yeah, not too many sort of important games in that league, but still important for the clubs who are playing to take the 3 points.
And last but not means least, Colby versus Onken in Combi 2. Also, Jims versus Malou. Braddon take on Union Mills. Foxdale versus Governors Athletic. And Michael versus Douglas and District.
Well, Union Mills are the other maximum club in the league. Maximum points for games played. Even though it's at Braddon, I expect them to win that one. They've got a lot of good young players in that combination side. Colby against Onken. I'm going to go for Onken, I think. If Union Mills slipped up and dropped points somewhere, I think maybe Onken and Ramsey Youth Centre are the best equipped to put a challenge on, but I think it would be a massive ask for Union Mills to fall apart, even though we're coming up to the halfway stage of the season. Jims against Malou, I'll go for Malou in that one. Foxdale against Governors, I would expect you know, Billy Goat to win that game, but again, you know, with the weather that's coming in, you would expect that game to possibly struggle, but hopefully, fingers crossed, it's not as bad as being anticipated. But Michael against D&D, I'm going to go for D&D to sneak the points in that fixture.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Tony Meppam, and I'll keep everything crossed that the weather is to your standards tomorrow.
If you would, if you would.
Manx Radio Sport.
Moving on to hockey now, and Sam Spooner is sitting directly opposite me. How are you today, Sam?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, thank you very much.
Good, good, good. And not that many fixtures in hockey this weekend. So, firstly, why is that?
It's the MHA Awards dinner tomorrow night, so everybody's busy getting prepared and having their makeup and hair done, and probably
which
get myself a manicure tomorrow. Yeah. But yeah, it's just a busy day all around, so all those that are planning the evening and getting it sorted and everything, it takes a lot of effort, so normally they have that day off if they can, but these games this weekend are rescheduled from the 19th of September.
I see. Then. And we've just got to mention before we go into the fixtures that you, yourself and Chris Cave are actually playing presenters tomorrow night.
Sort of, yes. I'm a sidekick more than anything.
Morecambe and Wise. The Wise.
Just not quite as wise, yeah.
Okay, so looking at tomorrow's fixtures, the ones that are on, we've got in the women's prem, Harlequins A versus Valkyries B. What do you make of that one?
For this one, it's a really good test for Valkyries B. They've really impressed me so far this season. They've defended really, really well. And just an example of that was their midweek game against Vikings A this week, when they only lost 4-1. Now, to firstly score against the champions as a hard, hard feat, even their first team couldn't score past them. And then to only concede 4 against a team who scored 23 goals in 4 games is for me, that's a great achievement, and they should be really proud of that. And the way that they've conducted themselves this season has been really impressive. And I think Harlequins A, they're struggling this season. There's nothing, you can't say anything more about that. And they're going to continue struggling as Valkyries B tomorrow.
In Women's Div 1, we've got Vikings B versus Valkyries C and Backers C versus Backers B.
Yeah, you have to say Backers B are the favourites to beat their own third string. And backers are going to want to see a fair few goals scored, just because Backers B and Vikings B are level one goal difference of 11 goals, and then Vikings B have scored more. Even though they conceded more, it goes to goals scored. So they're going to want to catch up with Vikings B and overtake them in the goal scoring and goal difference stakes. So Backers B are going to win that one tomorrow. And Vikings B versus Valkyries C, I wouldn't put it past Valkyrie C to win this one. They've already beaten Backers B, and they're going to be desperate to win following their loss last weekend against Castletown. And Valkyrie C, if they win, it puts them right back into that title fight with their four teams all sitting within 2 points of each other.
And then the last match of the day is in the mixed under-16s, and that's Saracens versus Ramsey Rogues and Rascals.
Yeah, there hasn't been too many games in the under-16s league so far this year, but Saracens have played two games and sit in fifth place. They were last year's champions, but obviously all the youth players now moved into their senior teams. Ramsey Rogues and Rascals, they weren't in the league last season, but they've been reignited this season. They're in sixth after one game, conceding 10 goals in that game, I might add. In terms of who's going to win tomorrow, I think Ramsey's going to struggle against Saracens on 16s, and you'll probably see Saracens celebrating the win tomorrow.
Fantastic stuff. Thank you very much, Sam Spooner, and enjoy the presenting tomorrow night.
Manx Radio Sport.
Rugby now, and games happening this weekend in the Manx Trophy. We've got Vagabonds taking on Southern Nomads. We've also got Ramsey versus Douglas South. In the Manx Bowl, we've got Emerging Nomads taking on Vagabonds Ladies. The Vagabonds Hornets and Ramsey 2 game has been postponed. And we've also got Castletown versus Western Vikings. So as always, we've got Dave Christian on the line. Dave, what are you going to make of the games tomorrow? I know you're set to go up to the Vaggers Nomads game, weather dependent. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, indeed. The forecast not brilliant tomorrow, is it, Rhian? And I've also got Ramsey versus Douglas South, which is a bit closer to home. So I always say if I'm going to get cold and wet, I'm going to do it 5 minutes from the house rather than a lap over the mountain. Yeah, it's early stages in the competition. Only a couple of games played so far. Clearly, the two Douglas sides, North and South, look to be the strongest. Everybody could have predicted that. Ramsey, though, put in a big win in week one against Southern Nomads. Much improved performance from Ramsey from last season, and last week lost with a last minute drop goal again. Very interesting. Got a little bit of advanced team news. I know from Ramsey there's, I think, just one change. John F. Watling at number 8, he's had a back spasm during the week, so he's going to sit out this week. He's been replaced by Rory Nicholson at number 8 for Ramsey. Other than that, the team is unchanged from last week that ran out against Vagabonds. So a vote of confidence from the Ramsey management there. And for the Vagabonds Southern Nomads game, Vaggers made three changes from last week. Matty Jones comes in at tight head prop, and two changes in the second row. Tom Gascoigne, who was with the second team last week and scored, if that matter, he goes into the second row along with Rob Keelan, the former Southern Nomad. So a little bit of a niggle game perhaps there with Rob getting in, but he's a tremendous player and will be a tremendous asset to the Vagabonds pack of forwards there in that game against Southern Nomads. Predictions for those? Ramsey Douglas South, I think with strong gale force winds could go either way, but I suspect Douglas are probably going to have a little bit more weight in the pack, and they're going to probably close the game out, I think, play it nice and tight. Ramsey's forte is to get the ball wide and move it very quickly, and the weather conditions might well be against them. Vagabond Southern Nomads, I suspect that's going to be pretty similar. Bala Fletcher is quite exposed to southerly winds. In fact, it's very exposed to the southerly winds, and if there's any rain around in the afternoon, it'll be horizontal there. That's going to make playing conditions difficult. And Vagabonds, their pack and forwards were awesome last week against Ramsey. The set scrummage worked well, the line out worked well, and they provided some good ball for their backs. Ross McCulloch in the centre running a straight line, he was incredible for them in terms of building attack off his moves. So I suspect we're probably going to see a Vagabonds win at Bala Fletcher and probably a Douglas win at the Murrick Park. In the Manx Bowl, yeah, the Vagabonds Hornets Ramsey B game, bit of a mystery there. Vagabonds had a team, a very, very strong team last week, put 60 points past Western Vikings at the QE2. This week they're struggling with personnel, not sure why that is. Nobody's given me any inside gen on that, but they're unable to get a team together. Ramsey agreed to put that game off, and we'll try and squeeze it in somewhere a bit further on in the future. Emerging Nomads, Vagabonds Ladies. Emerging Nomads are leading the competition. competition and likely to put in a big score. But what we've found in these tag games is that both teams rack up a lot of points. So Vagabonds Ladies are picking up try bonus points along the way, which means they're not bottom of the table. That honour goes to Ramsey B right now. The interesting game, perhaps, Castletown versus Western Vikings. Vikings were good in week one. They put in a win against Ramsey B at the Murrick Park. But then that took that battering last week against Vagabonds B. Castletown, on the other hand, they lost to Emerging Nomads in week one. Put in a very good performance against Vagabonds Ladies last week. Kunal Patel in particular looked very sharp, but Jim Emmett was in there as well. He picked up some tries. So there's a little bit of talent down there at Castletown. There's a bit of shelter from the wind as well at Poulsen Park, trees all around. I think maybe just Castletown might sneak that one.
Thank you very much, Dave Christian. Well, I hope it stays dry to an extent wherever you end up being. And with that, our time is up. So very best of luck to everyone competing across the board tomorrow. Thank you very much to all my guests tonight. And of course, to you for tuning in. George Ferguson has Greatest Hits for you now. And Tim Glover will be back with you tomorrow for the Classified programme. And that's on our AM frequency from 5 o'clock with all the latest results. In the meantime, though, have a lovely Friday night, and I will speak to you soon.